I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Utah's sports leader. This is KZNS AM Salt Lake City.
KZNS FM Colvin.
97.5 1280 The Zone. And The Zone Sports Network.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. Alex Keery here, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell in front of me. We are here at the Homie Headquarters. Can we call these the Homie Headquarters? Might as well. Yeah. Here in Sandy. Katie's joining us, super fan. We'll talk to her in just a little bit. She'll give us a prediction for the Jazz Trailblazers coming up in just a little while tonight. And I've got tickets to give away for Jazz Trailblazers tonight as well at Vivint Smart Home Arena, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Joining us right now, the big news, of course, over the last 24, 36-ish hours now, is that Lincoln Riley's headed to USC out of Oklahoma. And a lot going with that. We've been wondering about the money associated with that. What's it going to look like? What drew him out of Norman, Oklahoma, to finally get USC, the name brand coach of their choice? Matt Zemek, covering USC for TrojansWire.com for USA Today, joins us on the program. Matt, thanks for being with us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Can we talk a little bit about the money? Do we know anything about what kind of money brought Lincoln Riley out of Norman and to USC?
I've seen some stuff floated around, like nothing nailed down, but like Mike Bone broke the bank. He spared absolutely no expense. I'm hearing, you know, like private jet and buying like a very lavish home in or near Los Angeles, as well as, like a $12 million salary. So basically, you know, Bone spared no expense, and that's really the key insight here, that he realized he had to go all out. You cannot cut corners. You cannot pinch pennies. You're USC. You know how much is riding on the entire, not just for your own program, but for the Pac-12 with, you know, the 12-team playoff plan not yet having been agreed to, but obviously being pursued. If you're going to lift all boats, not just your own in the Pac-12, and deliver a game-changing hire, and Mike Bone realized he, not just his USC tenure was going to be judged by this, his whole administrative career was leading up to this point. You know, Bone's been a veteran as a college sports administrator over a decade, having been previously at Colorado and Cincinnati, where he hired Luke Fickell. This was the hire by which he was going to be judged professionally, in terms of his whole administrative career, not just at USC. So he clearly showed a recognition of the stakes involved and what he had to do, not only to bring in an elite coach, but he also grasped the concept of, I cannot spare a single penny. I cannot spare any expense to do what I absolutely have to do.
Do you think it took all of that to get Lincoln Riley? I mean, his name was not even mentioned at all at USC. A bit of a surprise, but a brilliant move on both sides, I think, for USC and for Lincoln Riley. Why was this kind of so kept in the dark? Was this a long process, or did this happen kind of last minute?
Yeah, the Los Angeles Times, Ryan Tarchi, the beat writer, and also have Brittany McCullough out there doing a great job covering USC. You know, the LA Times had a story earlier on Monday which said that this courtship was a long-term process. you know, that when Clay Helton was fired in mid-September, like, the gears were already turning. So this wasn't like a last-minute effort. That's for sure. And that was a long-term project that Mike Bone was reaching out. Not, you know, he couldn't have reached out to Lincoln Riley directly, but he reached out to his representation. And so there were just constant ongoing discussions. Now, the obvious tension point here is, you know, was most of this driven by the SEC? I think that, if this courtship was as extended as the LA Times reporting it was, that would suggest that, yes, the SEC move by Oklahoma was a big factor here, and that Lincoln Riley didn't want to have to climb over Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and Jimbo Fisher and the Florida Gators, to get to the college football playoff. Why not just go out to the Pac-12 where you're instantly the big fish? And, you know, Mario Cristobal has done a good job at Oregon. Duck has been the best recruiter in the conference. Duck has generally been the best team in the conference the past few years. But Oregon's not, you know, a gigantic heavyweight. Oregon's not as good as it was under Chip Kelly, when the Ducks made the national championship game in 2010, had that great five-year run, 2009 through 6-year run, 2009 through 2014 with Marcus Mariota. Oregon's not at that standard. So if USC, it was always the case, if USC didn't hit a grand slam, not just a home run, but a grand slam, and Lincoln Riley is that, USC would obviously rocket right back to number one in the Pac-12 pecking order, and that's exactly what we have right here. So Lincoln Riley certainly looked at the chessboard, I think, and he said, hey, I can be number one, just as I was with Oklahoma, winning four straight Big 12 titles before this past season, when, you know, if Baylor and Dave Aranda had not gone 10-2, Oklahoma would be preparing for Oklahoma State again in the Big 12 championship game, and Lincoln Riley would not be USC head coach because he would have to prepare for a game. And that's kind of a plot twist here. We were thinking Saturday morning, people who follow the USC coaching search, Matt Campbell was the guy with the buzz Saturday morning, and he was not going to coach in the Big 12 championship game. His season was already over. Iowa State played Friday evening against TCU, so he was available. And many of us were thinking, precisely because Campbell was available, Mike Bone would swoop in and fuck him. So it turns out that Mike Bone did indeed hire a coach who was not going to coach in the Big 12 championship game. It just turned out to be Lincoln Riley instead of Matt Campbell. An amazingly delicious plot twist.
Yeah, and I think that SC fans, and I think the fans of the Pac-12 should probably be pretty excited about how big of a hire that is, too. It also showed the school's disinterest in the program for the season when Carol Folt, the USC president, mistakenly tweeted out today that the season was over, even though they had a game left. So that probably didn't help as well, on top of all the things that they've been trying to move on mentally with, and that was another one. But what does this do for the Pac-12? What does this do immediately for this conference to have a hire like that, and to have USC, get into that space where they've been before, which is a massive power in that conference?
Well, Washington has landed on Kalen DeBoer, but, the reportage that we've gotten today from Seattle said that, Jen Cohen, the AD at Washington, she made a big run at Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell turned down Washington. But the fact that Washington did make a big run at Campbell before settling on Kalen DeBoer, that shows the Lincoln Riley effect already in evidence, right? Because Washington knew it had to swing big. Now, it missed. It didn't hit the ball, but at least took a big swing. So that already shows that other programs in the conference are aware, we can't settle for coaches. Or at least we have to try for the really big fish, such as Matt Campbell, before we do anything else. So, what this also shows is UCLA has already committed to Chip Kelly. Arizona State's already committed to Herm Edwards. Now, those two programs are in for a world of hurt. They settled. They didn't try to do something bigger. They didn't revise their philosophy or their approach. Those two programs are really hurting. And then, let's go to Utah, in your neck of the woods. John Wilner, the Pac-12 journalist, this is just his prediction. Like, it doesn't mean it's gospel, but, he doesn't just swing stuff against the wall. Like, he has a sense of the situation. I'm not going to say I agree with his take, but it's worth considering. He said that if Kyle Whittingham and Utah beat Oregon and Mario Cristobal in the Pac-12 title game, that the Rose Bowl might be Kyle Whittingham's walk-off moment. You know, if it's never going to get any better, that's the time to call it a career, spend time with his grandkids and everything. He would have lifted Utah to the absolute pinnacle. So if you're Utah, and if this scenario comes to pass, like, you have to get this hire right because you have to match up with Lincoln Riley. But it's also an opportunity for Utah since UCLA and ASU are just being brainless in terms of how they handle their football program.
Yeah, I agree. I think Lincoln Riley is going to have a massive impact on USC and also on the conference and really, quite frankly, across the country. But how soon do you think that impact could happen? And is it even remotely possible that he doesn't succeed there?
From an on-field perspective, you mean? Like, yeah. When are they going to start winning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be shocked if Lincoln Riley doesn't have a ridiculously successful career at USC, precisely because, you know, it's the fundamental marriage which makes USC work when it's at its best. You know, USC struggled the past 12 years, not just under Clay Helton, but really since ever since Pete Carroll left for a few basic things. One, it didn't have a good athletic director. So Mike Bone showed he's a heavyweight athletic director. So that box is checked. So it has good supervision and oversight. But the other part is, you know, recruiting, get it up to that Mario Cristobal standard, even exceed him. Lincoln Riley was recruiting elite talent from Southern California and getting guys to go to Norman, Oklahoma. So now he can bring those guys to USC, and he's going to lock down the Southern California region. So Mario Cristobal and other outside coaches like Ohio State and Clemson, you know, Clemson got DJ Uiagalelei from Southern California. C.J. Stroud is a Southern California kid. Bryce Young of Alabama is a Southern California kid. Those guys are now going to stay home under Lincoln Riley. So you're going to have that effect. And then the third part, player development. Clay Helton was atrocious at developing the talent brought in. And so Lincoln Riley, he develops talent. You see all the quarterbacks that he sent to the NFL. You know, the parade he had with Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts. You know, so he develops players, all right? And so you have the recruiting, you have the player development, and also you have a brilliant offensive mind. You know, Lincoln Riley, as an offensive tactician, is unmatched in the sport. You put all of those ingredients together, it's a knockout package. I feel very comfortable in saying that USC won't necessarily eclipse the Pete Carroll standard. We have to kind of wait and see on that, but USC is going to be right near the Pete Carroll standard under
right. Matt Zemek, he covers USC for TrojansWire.com. Of course, the biggest news of the sports weekend in the world of college football is that Lincoln Riley is headed to Los Angeles. Is in Los Angeles, and the deal is quite sweet as well. So, Matt, thanks for hanging out. Awesome stuff, man. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, man, just really, really great. I mean, that, you know what that is? That's a guy who covers the Trojans whose job just got really exciting, right? I mean,
it's no fun when you're in a sport and you're participating, you're competing, and you have no relevance,
right?
And that's no fun. And now all of a sudden it's like USC has just become it just woke up and it's become relevant, and it was fascinating to me. All of the ramifications
yes.
that have, because he brought up a lot of things.
He brought up the Utah part. I mean, the part that applies to us, which I looked at you I thought you were going to give me a, yeah, right. But it was a, yeah, this Rose Bowl might end up actually being the best thing that Kyle Whittingham could end up having the rest of his career, because it's going to be so hard now with USC
coming back. He knows his career is in its, you know, it's swan song. I mean, he's in the twilight.
How dare you put him out to pasture already, Scott?
Well, I think he would. I mean, I don't think he's a guy that says, yeah, I'm gonna coach for the next 10 years, 20 years, or, you know, till they, you know, pry my
do you
dead
think it
body
will actually
off the field.
Do you think it'll, because you've talked about how talented this team is.
I think he wants to go to the Rose Bowl.
Well, of course.
And I agree. I think this team goes to Rose Bowl. I would not be surprised if that happens, but he brought up a good point in that a lot of these schools are asleep. And so what does –
Oh,
what
he
does,
just straight up called out UCLA right? and ASU,
and
too.
And what does Utah do in that case? Like how serious and how committed and how real
– How can they hit a home run on the next time?
Yeah. Because wow. if it's internally, you know, is that
sexy enough?
It's kind of where Utah would see itself,
right?
But you would hope they would go, no, we're going to compete in the Pac-12.
And what's that next big name coming up?
We have to find it.
Man, that was really, really good stuff by Matt Zemek. He was, of course, on the Smart Rain guest line, as all of our guests are. Best of State winner Smart Rain has incredible Black Friday offers, not just for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, though, all through the rest of this month. So the next couple of days, take advantage. Smart Rain giving away free controllers along with the free Apple iPad to commercial properties who sign up for the paid cellular and hosting subscription as well. Visit smartrain.net or give them a call, 877-346-3333. Man, it's just so much stuff in there to be able to dissect, and we're going to do it a little bit more. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.